Would you give the invocation, please?
Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you bestowed on our community, and we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin tonight, I'd ask Chief Skinner to introduce our guests.
Mayor and member of the councils, I'd like to introduce Commander Lennon Leos and Sergeant John Sneathan from the Carlsbad Police Department. They work at the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force. They comprise a lot of stats over time, over the year and stuff like that. And there's a lot of great work that goes on behind the scenes here in Carlsbad and Eddy County that they're involved in that doesn't always get brought to public attention. So I thought it would probably be a good idea for Commander Leos and Sergeant Sneathan to bring some reporting to you, maybe shed some light on the current situation and trends going on here in Carlsbad and Eddy County. So with that, I'll turn
it over. Thank you, Chief. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members. As the Chief stated, I'm Lennon Leos. I'm with the Drug Task Force. Sergeant Sneathan is going to hand out kind of a fact sheet that we made up, and I've got a real brief presentation I'd like to give you guys. During the presentation, questions and input are welcome, so feel free to interrupt at any time and provide any input, okay? So currently, the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force is comprised of members with the Eddy County Sheriff's Department and the Carlsbad Police Department. We're going to talk about fentanyl. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm kind of a walker when I talk, but we're going to talk about fentanyl. We're going to talk about kind of a lot of the trends in drugs that we're seeing in Carlsbad. One of the main ones that is new to us is fentanyl. Initially, this is what it started out as. It's a great medicine for pain, compliance, control. I mean, so this is the form that we want to see it in. Here in Carlsbad, we're starting to see the trend of it coming in the powder form, and some of the things that you're reading up there is the potency level. So a lot of the fentanyl, when they're talking about it, officers are trained that, you know, it'll kill you if you have any kind of contact with it. So combating that, we give out Narcan and stuff like that. That's about a microgram, I believe, and that's about how much it would take in the powder form to put a grown man such as myself down to the ground and hopefully get me to the ER so it didn't kill me. This is a new trend that we're seeing in Carlsbad. Just to put in perspective, these pictures that you're seeing here were seized in Carlsbad. We cover Eddy County, but everything I'm showing you fentanyl-wise was seized in Carlsbad. What these are they're counterfeit oxycodones. M on one side, 30 on the other. And if you actually went on pillfinder.com, you'd find oxycodones that appeared like this. But these are 100% fentanyl. They're being sold illegally. Just to kind of put it in perspective, at May 2019 was our first seizure of fentanyl for the Drug Task Force. Since that time frame, going into the new year, you know, all of 2019 as of May, so I think that's like 7-8 months, we seized almost 2,000 pills. To put that in perspective, HIDTA throughout the state of New Mexico, so this includes Albuquerque, Roswell, Las Cruces, bigger places in Carlsbad, 5,500 approximate pills were seized throughout the whole state. So if you do the math, that's about a third of those pills were seized in Carlsbad. And I'm not talking about Eddy County, I'm just talking about Carlsbad. So it's a huge threat to our community. It's a huge thing that the task force has tried to make a priority to investigate. This is another form here. The most popular is these blue ones. They were initially selling for $60 a pill. They actually came in this form, and right about now they're going anywhere from $8 to $60 a pill, I guess depending on if your drug dealer likes you. This is a different batch that we actually seized. People on the streets want the darker pills. They say they're more potent. Initially, just to, when I thought about these pills, I thought they're ingesting them, popping them with water, and they're getting high. Why aren't we having more overdose doses that relate are related to death? Well, what they're doing is actually smoking them. They'll put them on a foil just like that, and this is something we took off the streets. And the reason we're not having, and this is my opinion, but the reason we're not having a lot more death-related overdoses is because what I've been told is after one or two hits, the user is nodding off to where they're, you know, the typical heroin user will nod off opiates. It distresses your system, so they'll nod off before they can finish the whole pill. So I believe that's the reason we're not seeing a lot more tragic deaths in the community. This is heroin, black tar heroin. This is another huge threat here where we've always had it here. This is another form of it. These are probably half gram amounts. We took this off of a gentleman from Carlsbad. We scraped that together, and that turned out to be, I believe, 4 ounces of heroin. So if you think of heroin, 28 grams are an ounce. 1 gram has 10 servings, 10 papers, they call them. So that's a lot of heroin that we took off the street. This gentleman actually flushed probably a pound or two down the toilet before we could get to him. He also had fentanyl pills with him. In Eddy County, Carlsbad, methamphetamine is king. It accounts for our largest seizures. It's an upper. So these are some pounds that we were buying with through the drug task force. And the people behind this were previously deported felons out of Mexico. So they're going to look at time. We seized about 17 pounds from this group. That's a large shard of methamphetamine. A pound of meth, anyone correct me if I'm wrong, but 453 grams is a pound. So this is almost a pound of meth in one shard. When you have it that big, you're pretty close to the top, the supply level coming out of Mexico. I call this three food groups in my line of work: firearms, money, and guns. This was taken out of a Loving area here in Eddy County. It's a bit of an older case. The reason I showcase all of it is because who would think this is happening in our community? I mean, this is cartel level stuff. People died behind this. I have a fact sheet up here for everyone to look at. When I say, methamphetamine is king. So if you look at 2015, these are kilogram amounts. So a kilogram equals 2.2 pounds. So 5.5 kilograms. I can tell you in 2015, the task force as it stood was staffed fully. So there's a correlation. We had a lot more cases. We seized 5.5 keys of methamphetamine. Now, if you'll go to the most recent years, you know, we track every year. So if you'll jump over to 2018, we seized 40 pounds of methamphetamine. And 2019, that equates to about 36 pounds of methamphetamine that we seized. And that's just our small initiative, our task force. There's other numbers up there, and it shows the totals and averages. But some of this stuff, it's all prevalent. The cocaine is here, heroin, marijuana. We try to prioritize, and that's why we try to focus on the fentanyl, heroin, and the methamphetamine. But there's a lot of it here. I put the arrests there. One thing you'll see in 2019, our firearm seizures were up. We took 106 guns off the street. The correlation with that, you know, why should we care about this stuff? To me, this is something personal. I'm pretty passionate about drug enforcement, and I'm passionate about my community. So I took some stuff from that I found online. 50 to 70% of all property theft is related to drug use. And I took that from KOAT. They did a study. 90% of the recovered vehicles that were stolen tested positive for methamphetamine. So that was in Albuquerque, but that's just something interesting to note. It's happening here. This was a recent homicide. I'm not going to go too in depth with this stuff, but this gentleman, basically the person that he victimized, there was a debt there for drugs, and he decided to that he was entitled to end her life. If you'll read at the bottom there, criminal complaint, drug use, argument led to shooting. We knew the victim in this case. We had served search warrants on his home. Drug-related homicide, Carlsbad. This one's Artesia. The gentleman with the tattoos, he's a known gang member, goes by the name Casper. 50 rounds were fired in this neighborhood in Artesia. I showcase that because I don't want that in my neighborhood. It shouldn't be in any of our neighborhoods. 50 rounds, it's pretty dangerous. Casper was dealing drugs in Carlsbad. He hailed from Artesia. This gentleman, Mr. Aguilera, he was out on bond for a murder. And while on bond for murder, he committed a second murder right before Christmas. And this is part of the scene there. What I want everyone to kind of note is, look at the orange can at the bottom there. So Otis Chavez lost his life over this. He was shot by Mr. Aguilera. And, you know, that's what we call a clue. So it was a drug-related homicide again. That's really all I have. If there's any questions at this point, I'll be more than happy to entertain them.
Commander, how many different agencies are involved in your drug task force?
Currently, actively, we have the Carlsbad Police Department, the Eddy County Sheriff's Office, and the Bureau of Land Management supplies our full-time federal agent.
No state police?
No, sir. We do work a lot with the other federal agencies. We work a lot with DEA out of Albuquerque. They help us take our cases to a higher level than we're funded and capable of taking them. So they're not in our task force per se, but we do work hand in hand with DEA quite a bit.
Question from the council?
I got a question, Mayor.
Counselor?
Most of these arrests, are they actual local people that grown up here, or is it people that are coming here?
So that's a good question, because I've heard it, you know, somebody tried to say that it was all the oil field traffic. In my experience, there's some going on in the oil field, but the vast majority of those people are just trying to work and make a living. And the majority of the crime that we're seeing, arrests, drug dealing, property theft related to the drug dealing and homicide, it's all locals. So I'm sure there is stuff going on in the oil field, but everything that we're investigating, you know, I'd put it at 80 percentile as locals.
Is there a lot of repeat offenders?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2015, they changed that bond schedule, and that's really hurt us. It's a revolving door as far as, you know, if I get a guy for trafficking methamphetamine, that's a second-degree felony. Well, that guy is going and saying, I don't have money, and he's OR bonding. And he's right back at it. And they brag to me, hey, Les, I'm already going for trafficking. What's to stop me from going twice as hard until I get locked up in a year and a half? So,
thank you.
Sir.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Very good. That moves us to number one, approval of the agenda.
Mayor, I'd like to make an amendment to the agenda we have before us on item H. I'd like to have that date changed to April 14th instead of 7th.
That is okay, thank you. And I would ask Mr. Britt to give us an overview of E3, please.
He'll
do that as soon as.
Okay. E3?
Yes.
Okay, good. Mayor and members of the council, E3 is a request to go out for RFP for concession services at Port Jefferson at the beach. The current vendor that we have there, Bad Girls Enterprises, has chosen not to extend their agreement. So we'll be looking to find a new vendor to provide food services as well as recreational equipment at the beach.
Question from the council for Mr. Britt.
Mayor, can I make a motion to second the amended agenda?
Is that proper right now?
We have to approve the agenda. He was making a motion for the...
Since we agended it in the second and then call for the vote on that?
It's okay at this time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went ahead and second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Lowe, would you discuss F1, 2, and 3, please?
Yes. Mayor is a member of the council. F1 is consider approval of agreement with San Mateo Black River Oil Pipeline to install a buried 12-inch steel oil line on city property located out the city limits. This property is located off U.S. Refinery Road and is commonly referred to as Western Farms. This one will be a 30-foot easement with 3,500-foot long. Only 10 feet of that easement will be permanent. The other 20 feet will allow a temporary workspace. The city will be compensated at $57,275.10 for that easement. F2 is considered approval agreement with Longwood RB Pipeline to install a 12-inch buried steel gas line. This line will be installed adjacent to the 12-inch oil line on the Western Farm property. Again, there will be a 10-foot permanent easement and a 20-foot easement for a temporary workspace. For that pipeline, the city will be compensated $56,602.80. Also included in that agreement is two 300-by-300 work sites and use of an existing road. The city will receive additional compensation for that at $12,403. F3 is with San Mateo Stevens Water Management to install a 12-inch buried poly water line. Again, that will be installed adjacent to the other two lines on the Wood Western Farms property. The city will receive compensation of $55,042.20 for that. Mm-hmm. Each one of these companies is a subsidiary of Matador. So I will stand for any questions if anybody has.
Question from the council?
I got a question there for
Councilor.
Is this going to go across the river? By chance?
This agreement is to go on our property. Will it go across the river? I've heard that it will go across the river, but that's not part of this agreement.
Okay.
So I can't speak to that. I don't know that.
John, or Mayor, can I ask this question?
Councilor.
Is this standard that we should have so many pages for a contract? It's like 40 pages worth of information concerning this. Is that pretty standard?
Councilor?
A number of years ago, the city came up with a standardized agreement for these. Now, the information that also comes with it is kind of varies between applicant to applicant, and in this case, that's what they provided us with. But the contract itself was standardized some time back.
Further questions from the council? If not, we'll move to Mr. Lowe. Will you discuss briefly F4?
Yes, this is the annual renewal with Metal Shop Live Productions that manages the Walter Gerald's Performing Arts Center. There's two renewals remaining on the original 2018 agreement. That would be this renewal if approved tonight, and there'll be one further renewal left on that contract. So we have currently finished all of the renovations we have from the snowstorm in 2015 and got the facility back up. We have the fire protection system is there now. We have the smoke detection system, and so the facility is getting the much needed upgrades it needed to become compliant.
Hmm. Question from the council?
John, how, or Mayor?
Councilor.
John, how long has this been ready to go? How long have we been ready to go for productions?
In the auditorium, we recently, the fire suppression system was completed, tested, and approved on February 7th of this year. So there was, just to answer your question, there was maybe protections in there, but sometimes the fire department had to be on staff in order to be able to do that.
That just happened recently.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. Recently.
Everything was okay to do what we're going to do.
I'm talking about the auditorium, the annex. The annex has been in production for a while. No problems with the annex, only the auditorium.
Yeah, the auditorium.
Correct.
Further questions?
Now, the other question concerns, is that Mr. McKinney has, how are we progressing? What do we look like? What do we look like as far as what's going to happen in the future, as far as productions and that kind of thing? I mean, obviously, we've had a lot of time to think about this. I'm just curious, you know, because I've been to some of your productions already, and I don't know. What are we going to do for the future that everybody can enjoy? Is that
Mr. McKinney, you want to address that?
Well, I would ask first, what kind of production are you looking to see?
Family-oriented, so that every PG, that's what I'm looking for. My kids could go if they wanted to, you know? A comedian that was good for everybody, that's all. Just.
Well, last week,
music that was good for everybody. You know?
Last week, we did 4 circus shows out there that was family friendly to everybody. Everything we try and do is family friendly. There's a couple things that come in. Obviously, you'll do a big comedian, say Rodney Carrington, who's not family friendly. We advertise that. But the next week, we did Michael Winslow, who was very much family friendly. You know, our Hogfest rally is family friendly. You know, we have kids. This year we've added the Midway Carnival to it. You know, we've been limited in the auditorium because, you know, it's been down for, you know, what, 3 years now, I believe. And every time we start to get rolling, start to get, you know, back in the swing of things, you know, then we're kind of stopped again because, you know, we've been making improvements to the building. As far as our usage of the facility, I think we have maybe 2 weekends the whole rest of the year that's not booked. And I think they're in July. You know, we're utilizing the annex quite a bit, and we're doing, you know, gun shows, you know, weddings, quinceañeras, all that kind of stuff in the annex. It's been hard to, you know, when you run a facility like this and the place is under construction, a lot of these shows are booked months and months and months in advance. So, you know, it's hard to look at being able to put big productions in the auditorium when we wasn't clear when it was going to actually be opened for everything. There's still work to be done in there. You know, there's still things that needs to happen. I think we're really on the right track now. The city has been great as far as getting all of that straightened out. You know, so now we're in a position to start looking at stuff down the road. You know, in the past, previous to the collapse, we try and do, you know, Christian shows, comedy shows, rock shows, country shows. You know, we do a variety of everything, and something that may not be your bag, maybe, you know, Mr. Lowe likes that. You know, so, you know, in the past, that facility sat there and it did, you know, maybe it had the Navy band would come in and play, or it would have square dancing on there or something like that. You know, we've turned this facility into a place that will appease a lot of different demographics. Like I said, you know, and I get that a lot. You know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, I don't like Rodney Carrington, or I don't like Michael Winslow, or I don't like whoever it may be. You know, my response to that is, you know, not everything you do out there, everybody's going to like. And it doesn't matter what it is. When we were doing Christian shows all the time, I was getting complaints that it's nothing but Christian shows going on out there. So we try and do a blend of everything. Up to this point, though, our hands have been a little tied. Now the auditorium is functioning. But now we're looking at our annex is booked, you know, really booked through the whole rest of the year. So we've got to sprinkle in what we can in the annex. I try and do that on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights. As we go into next year, you know, now we can start looking at starting to put shows in that auditorium now that the fire suppression system's fixed, you know, things like that. And I will say, too, you know, in October we do the big haunted house out there. We donated, I want to say, probably 400 to 4,500 cans of food to charity. You know, a lot of the stuff we do out there is for that too. And You know, that haunted house absolutely was for kids, and that ran most of the month of October. But I guess maybe that was a long answer, but...
One of the things I look at, though, I read the paper all the time, like most of you guys do. I look at what Artesia's doing. And a lot of those shows, I would like to go to, too, and I probably would like a lot of what they're doing. It would just seem as though we could do the same thing here.
Well,
but I don't know.
I'll tell you the difference between Artesia and Carlsbad is, you know, Artesia and Hobbs, you know, the city pays for a lot of those shows. Or in Artesia's case, you know, they've got a lot of backing from the oil companies and such that are from Artesia. You know, their little theater will do, and by all means, we can do that stuff. They overpay for those shows. I mean, grossly overpay for those shows. And they've even called me in the past and asked me if I would take those shows off their hands because they overspent. You know, I'm not going to spend $60,000 on an act that's worth $5,000. And that's what happens in these other cities, you know, especially Hobbs. If you look at Hobbs and the Lee County Event Center and what they spend on that Lee County Fair, I can give you an example. At Hogfest this year, we're doing an Norteño night. I made a phone call to one of the bands that played the Lee County Fair last year. They charged Lee County $70,000. For that band to come and play, and that was half price of what they normally get. We looked at that band. Instead, we took the band that plays with them on the road, and you know our costs were in the $15,000 range. You know, when you've got a city entity buying shows, you have a couple of problems. Number one, you run into the same thing you're just asking me, and you know, why is the city only doing this type of show at that facility, and why is the tax money going to that? That's why Hobbs put all of those pricing, all those figures out in the newspaper. You know, they spent, I believe, $400,000+ just on talent for the Lee County Fair. You know, and that came directly out of taxpayer money. Out here at this facility, those shows come directly out of my checkbook. You know, I'm paying for those shows. You know, what my contract is with the city at $96,000, I can tell you right now, I paid Rodney Carrington $65,000 for one show. So, you know, I mean, so you've got to weigh all of those options. And by all means, I mean, if there's something that you would like to see out there, I'm more than happy to look into it. You know, that's what we do. We take comments all the time from people of things that they would like to see, and we base a lot of what we do on what we get on our websites and things like that. But to compare us to Artesia or Hobbs, it's apples and oranges. I mean, it really is.
Mayor, can I make one comment?
Sure.
This is more of a comment than a question, but also we need to remember that we have the contract, and if we renew tonight, then we have a contract with Curtis and Metal Shop. That doesn't mean that they have exclusive rights to the auditorium. One of the reasons why years ago we decided to go with a contractor rather than a city employee is so that we have a contractor that is a promoter that will bring in high-quality entertainment. But if I want to go out there and to rent the auditorium and to bring something that Curtis is not bringing, then I'm more than welcome to do that. He has two jobs. One job is to facilitate rentals of the facility. The other job that he has is to bring in high-quality entertainment. On the entertainment side, he has to do what, in his estimation, is going to make money for his company. From the facility rental, he doesn't care what I bring out there. The rental costs this much. There's a percentage of the ticket that is part of the deal. And anybody can do that. And so, you know, we obviously you have to work with the calendar and what's on it, but promoters are welcome to come in and to bring anything, and per the contract, Curtis will do everything he can to facilitate that and hopefully make it a success for whoever rents it.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the problems has been with that too. We were in a position before the roof collapsed, you know, we were really rolling. We had outside promoters coming in and whatnot. We've been stagnant for 3 years. You know, so you know, we're hoping to get that back and start getting these other promoters to come in and do the shows. We encourage that. You know, it's tough though when the place has been kind of shut down. So we've been focusing on the back end of the place and the annex. And as you guys know, I mean, we put a stage and lighting and all of that stuff in there so we could continue to rent the annex and continue to be operational and continue to generate money for the city. You know, that was all, you know, we put all of that in and we covered the cost for all of that just so the place wouldn't be dormant. And I think for those 3 years, I don't have the numbers in front of me because I wasn't expecting to talk tonight, but I don't really believe that we even saw a decrease in revenue come out of the place during the 3 years that it was shut down, you know, because we really brought back, we utilized that annex in a way that I don't think that anybody really even noticed a decrease in money coming into the city as to what it was doing even when the auditorium was open.
We had a miscommunication here. Further questions for Curtis? Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Further questions from the council?
I mean, Mayor, I have a question
for Curtis. One more, Curtis.
Can you maybe bring this guy?
You know what? I have actually been looking at him already.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I actually have, really.
Okay.
He's fantastic.
Thank you, Curtis.
No, thank you.
Further questions from the council concerning the agenda?
I make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Wolfscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number three, consider approval of request from the Crossbed Police Department to apply for a Bureau of Justice Stop School Violence grant to continue to provide school resource officers in the Crossbed Public Schools. Chief Skinner.
Mayor and members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Again, I believe the last council meeting, you guys are familiar with the memorandum of understanding that I brought to you that was updated through our agreement with the Carlsbad Municipal School System. Again, that since we last met and talked about that, it's since went through the Eddy County Commission and the Eddy County Sheriff's Office, that MOU has been completely updated. The basics of that are pretty much laid out in the ABM. We've been diligently working with our grant supervisors. Probably the only thing that's the initiative hasn't changed. We've been advised to apply for a different area of the grant, which would I think when I talked to you last, we'd actually talked about being awarded up to $500,000. The area that we've changed into would actually possibly yield up to $750,000 over a 36-month term. Again, as I noted in the ABM, this particular grant doesn't require any cost sharing or matching requirement by the city. I see complete upside in it for us. Some of the things that will allow us to do through our school resource officer program. So I would humbly and respectfully ask that the city council give us permission to apply for the grant.
Question for Chief Skinner.
I got a question.
Counselor.
You guys do the DARE program still or anything like that?
We don't do the DARE program anymore. I know it's something that was involved and it's something that our schools have asked us to bring back, which I think this is definitely a goal that we're working towards because there's been such a request by the schools for us to bring something like that back.
I remember going through it myself.
It's a wonderful program, and again, as we've talked about before, I think we are striving for the earliest intervention of our school resource officers, and a part of the DARE program would drive the initiative in that phase. The DARE program is designed for kids of all ages, but definitely addresses kids of a much younger age.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Chief.
I'd move for approval.
We have a motion to approve. And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Number four, consider approval of resolution number 2020-07, a resolution requiring the removal of the buildings and debris for property located at 511 South Alameda, owners Ernest and Priscilla Rodriguez. Ms. Reardon.
This is a property on the west side of Alameda, just north of Lee Street. There's the Mount Olive Baptist Church on the corner, and then there's the property. Code enforcement has been dealing with this property for a couple of years now. Code enforcement believes that Ernest has passed away, but they've been dealing with Priscilla. I believe Priscilla lives not in Carlsbad, but in Eddy County. As you can see, the property has older buildings on it, including one that is of adobe construction. It's primarily a single-family residence and then several outbuildings. Although the property would be cleaned up, code enforcement would start contacting the family, trying to get them to clean up. They would see some cleanup of the outside. It was never kept clean, and certainly it hasn't been kept clean recently. Mr. Benavides, who's our certified building official, has been out there. He's inspected the structures. In particular, he finds that the outdoor storage buildings, as you can see from some of the photos, are in danger of collapse, if not having already partially collapsed ceilings. The adobe structure is not been kept weatherproof on the exterior, which is allowing moisture to get into the adobe and destroying it. What you also see on the main house is that there's damage to the roof structure. The roof is beginning to collapse. There is major cracking along the foundation, which leads him to believe that the building is shifting on its foundation. There are the windows and the doors are no longer really effective. The windows are missing. The door looks like it's been kicked in. And with that, he sees that moisture is getting into the structure. So to the extent that they were older and not well maintained, the moisture that we do get is really kind of bringing them down. What you also see in the exterior is an extensive amount of random junk and debris, wood pallets, limbs, taller weeds, etc. So at this point, having been inspected by both the, all three, the code enforcement, the fire marshal, and our certified building official, the recommendation has been that the structures be demolished and the property cleaned. The fire marshal in particular is worried about the fire hazard that might happen if any of these structures caught, especially the older wooden ones. We did send a letter to the address as shown on record. My office has not received a response. I don't know if somebody's here to address this. If adopted, the resolution would give the owners 60 days to clean the buildings off and to bring the property into compliance. If that work is not done, then if the city proceeded with the work, then the city would place a lien against the property for all reasonable costs for both the removal of the building and the cleanup of the property.
Do we have a representative here? Question from the council.
Mayor, this is one of the locations that I have personally asked to have inspected. Mm-hmm. So with that, I would move for approval of this.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number five, consider approval of ordinance number 2020-04, an ordinance rezoning part of R2 Residential 2 District to RR Rural Residential District for an approximately 6.775-acre property located at Copperstone Estates Phase 3 Subdivision. Applicant Trent and Casey Cornum. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance 2020-04. And we will now convene as a public hearing. And Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members.
As stated, this is a request to change the zoning for the subject property from R2 Residential 2 District to RR Rural Residential District. Our R2 zoning is multifamily. It is what the Copperstone Estates subdivision and the apartments there are zoned. The applicant wants to place a home on the property, and as such, they wanted to change it to rural residential to have a larger lot, more of a residential setting for a single-family home. They brought the request before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the January 6th Commission meeting. After consideration, that board voted 4 in favor of approval, none against, and 1 absent. And I'll stand for your questions.
Counselor? Questions? Counselor?
Jeff, why would you go from R2 to RR? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, if you could think back to a request that you made last year, well, they might. Maybe that's part of their consideration. I think that in talking with the applicant and some other people that they're working with, I think that they wanted to make sure that the property stayed with the larger lot. I think that they eventually are going to split this into 2 lots and have 2 families on the property, and they wanted to make sure that there was going to be single house on it, larger lot, a little space.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Is there anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. You state your name for the record, please.
Casey Cornham. I guess I'll just answer your question too. Basically what he said, but we were buying the property from the owner that is just southeast of the property, and he would like to make sure that he's selling it so that nothing else goes in there besides single-family homes. So just like Mr. Pedersen said, that's kind of what he wants to make sure, nothing else goes on the property, because he's building his home that he plans on staying there for a long time, his forever home. So I would just ask you guys to approve it.
Further question from the council? Yeah, thank you. Anyone else for the ordinance? If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we will now reconvene as the City Council to consider approval of Ordinance 2020-04.
May I make a motion for approval?
We have a motion to approve. In a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Number 6, council committee reports. Do we have any councilmen that have any reports?
The Census 2020 committee will be having a meeting on Thursday at noon. We will continue working towards getting an audience with the various organizations in Carlsbad, and continue working to get in with our man camp operators and try to get our word out to them and get as accurate a count as we possibly can.
We appreciate all your hard work. Anyone else?
Mayor, no, I'd like to just say thank you to everyone who worked extremely hard to get our lodger's tax bill passed in the state legislature, and now we cross our fingers that the governor will sign it, and also worked so hard to get us quite a bit of road money during this session. So Representative Brown really led the charge on that, but our other representatives, Representative Townsend, and our senators as well, Senator Kernan, Senator Griggs, and Senator Fulfer, worked really hard on our behalf, and so many other people.
Yeah.
Former Representative Heaton and Ms. Austin and so many others. So thank you guys so very much.
Yeah. Yeah, Representative Heaton and Wendy Austin did a great job up there. Anyone else? Counselor?
Dale, I'd like to ask the question. We were Ken Britt was up here. He was going to explain E3, and he never did that. Was there a reason why?
Not. He explained it, yeah.
Did he explain it? Okay, maybe I missed it. Okay, I stand corrected.
Any other counselors? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, we will now move to number 7, and I'd call on Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walter Scheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
We're adjourned.